Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
I got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away. And I'll be okay. I'm not made.
That's kind of noisy. How do you do it? I'm Doug with Jen and Victoria. The focus on what's going on, the news the last 24 hours or 48 hours, pretty much all about what's happened in Dallas and around the country. So we'll have a focus on that with different opinions. If you'd like to opine, follow us on Twitter at Good Day Show or dial us up at 888-302-3684. In a few minutes, we're going to meet a couple of people who are cancer innovators. For those of you who have had to live in, I don't think there's been a family in America in the last 40 or 50 years, hasn't been touched by cancer in one way or another. So there are some bright ideas now that are surfacing with regard to cancer treatment, et cetera, et cetera. Focus on prevention. Much anything else, be careful about what you eat and how you live. It's pretty much that simple, don't you think? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that's part of it.
Yes. Okay, so the situation in our country, as we struggle to find a way to explain or understand these racially charged killings, I thought it was interesting. Judge, what is it, Jeanine? Is that her?
Jeanine, yes.
Yeah, I think that show is taped in Dallas. Says that it's not about racism, but about anarchy. You can make an argument for that if you want. You can make an argument for most anything. Here.
There's a lot of folks that say, I mean, because a lot of the protests are put on by a group called Black Lives Matter, which mm-hmm. we've talked about, and that's a hashtag on social media.
Right.
And there are a lot of people who say that the founders of that group were actually not necessarily worried about black rights in this country, but they actually have roots in the Communist Party and that they're trying to disrupt the system for their own gains, to try to really abruptly change where we are as a country.
This all started in my mind in Ferguson, Missouri, but I was trying to remember, was that, that wasn't last year, that was the year before, wasn't it? Well, how long ago was Ferguson?
Ferguson was
two summers
ago.
Yeah,
see?
I think 2014,
it was 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Right. Don't you think that's when the current focus on police and black men, black lives, didn't that start this whole movement?
I think it started. I mean, I think it had already probably started, but I think that was probably the thing that exploded it into high gear. Mm-hmm. But look, in that case, see, that's what we have to think about. In that case, the police officer really didn't do anything wrong, and we found out that the media and that a lot of people started spewing up information like hands up, don't shoot, was never even part of this. Yet that's where it started, was with this Ferguson thing, because of something someone had said, and that wasn't even part of what happened or the record.
Why do people think this way? Why do people act this way? What is there about the condition in which we live that allows this to happen? Do we have too much freedom? You're suggesting, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I always get criticized when it sounds like I'm putting words in somebody's mouth, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. But if you're equating this to communism, I think that it's a stretch for me to go there. But I am interested in, because I hear and encourage, frankly, I encourage civil disobedience. I encourage people to speak out. I think we need to be more expressive about it. I'm not telling you how to express yourself, but I think the fact that we have people blocking the interstate, have people blocking what's going on in normal business circumstances, I think that is, I don't think that's irresponsible at all. I think that's where you get action. Go back to the 60s when I was a kid. That's how action took place, whether it was the civil rights movement or the Vietnam War, and we have had little of it of late. And I think it's too bad it gets to this, because there are plenty of other things that we should be protesting. And one wonders whether this isn't a whole big conspiracy to get our minds off of the real problems or other problems. Not that this isn't real, but things that are, you know, the fact that government doesn't work and people want to get angry about that, or they think we ought to do something about it.
I don't think anything's wrong with a peaceful protest. I mean, don't mistake my disdain for some of the higher ups in the Black Lives Matter movement to be that we shouldn't be protesting when something's wrong. No, in fact, I'm sad that that Dallas, that protest, which was peaceful, by the way, throughout the whole thing, ended in violence because of some of the extremists, because of some of these people who get the wrong messaging from the leaders higher up in movements like this, go and shoot everybody up so that you can't have a peaceful protest. I mean, are all of those police killings justified? No. Are some of them justified? Yeah. Are some of them racially motivated? Probably. Do we need to weed those out? Do we need to fix the system when that happens? Yeah.
Well, we gotta look for idealism.
Right. Yeah. But when we have a whole movement like this, we have to think about who's making the political gains behind it. And there are people like George Soros who have thrown money into Black Lives Matter. And what are their true motivations? Is it to help people or is it to advance their agenda? That's what we have to look at.
Well, it could be both. This is because somebody's got an agenda doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean it's good, doesn't mean it's bad. It's an agenda, it's an idea, any more than what might happen on the other side with people throwing money behind an event or a personality. Yeah, people want to have their point of view processed and pushed forward. All right, let's pause for a moment. I want to bring some bright new ideas to your attention from the cancer care world. That's up next here.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This flame-throwing all-star was one of the most dominant relievers during his career. He collected 314 saves in just 9 seasons and helped the San Francisco Giants win the 2002 National League pennant.
Double play, and this one is over! And Rob Nen with a big hug to Benito Santiago.
So where is Rob Nen now? After the 2002 World Series, Rob underwent multiple shoulder surgeries and rehab for 2 years. His hope was to keep playing, but he finally retired in 2005. Rob's been a spring training instructor and occasional front office assistant for the Giants, but mostly he works with kids, his own and the junior Giants.
It's definitely fun to give back to the kids and have a chance to be around them. They've given their support to us for so long, and I think now it's time for us to support them and help them any way we can.
A straight pitch from Rob Nen. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
John Bramlett is an unusually gifted painter. He's also an inspiration to countless people.
Just after he turned 30, the lights went out. John went blind, and the cause is still unknown.
At first, he was sad, frustrated, and angry. He turned to painting, something he had always wanted to do.
That's when he made an amazing discovery. He says he sees better now than he did before.
He learned to distinguish colors by their feel. He developed his memory so he could picture the painting in his mind as he touches it with his hands.
You have gifts you may not even know about. You don't have to wait for a major life event to discover them.
But even adversity can lead to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Ever heard that old expression, everything's negotiable? Well, it's true, and more true than ever before. Here's the common sense and the social science of it. Difficult economic times calls for new coping strategies, and while some people find it distasteful to haggle over a price, nowadays it's expected. Department stores now allow their sales force to discount marked prices, but only if you ask for it. And get this, physicians, dentists, and other healthcare professionals will give you a discount, but you have to ask. Why? It's easier to take less money immediately than go through the ordeal of filing insurance and waiting for a little bit more cash. What's the cheap psychological trick? Ask for a discount and ye shall receive, but you have to ask nicely. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Time now for us to see if we can shine some bright light onto the problem that most of us have in our lives with somebody that we know or in our family diagnosed with cancer. Mark is a gentleman. Mark Reisenauer is a cancer caregiver, senior vice president of oncology at an outfit called Astellas. And also joining us is Michael Sears, founder of 11 Health, which is an e-patient in-residence working organization at Stanford Medical Center, cancer survivor. Michael, you were diagnosed with cancer at age 12. How did you deal with that?
I came about through an intestinal problem and ended up having an intestinal transplant as a result, and then followed on with cancer from there. The impact of having cancer is not just on me as a patient, though. It's actually on the family. As I've gone through later life, I'm now married with kids and had cancer again later on, the impact on them. And I just believe, and as I grew up, got to learn that actually, as a patient, you really have to play a role in how you sort of navigate your way through the system and therefore contribute to, I guess, your whole care regime. It's a huge impact. But I believe that patients have a great role to play in how we sort of cope and build and grow and look at innovations to solve problems. And I've been lucky enough to do that through my whole journey.
Mark Reisenauer, tell us about Astellas, will you?
Astellas is a pharmaceutical company. We're headquartered in Tokyo, but our U.S. operations is in Chicago. We have an oncology franchise, and one of the key activities that we are doing right now is the C3 Prize. And the C3 Prize is a challenge that we've come up with that is aimed at inspiring innovations to change cancer care for patients and their loved ones, much along the same way that Michael was describing. We know that patients and their families go through a lot of challenges every day, whether it's navigating the healthcare system, coordinating care, coping with life post-treatment, things like that. And we know that some of the best ideas are going to come externally, and we're looking for great ideas that are going to have an immediate impact on cancer care.
Thus, the C3 prize that you're talking about, the fellow from Shark Tank, Robert Herjavec, is involved in this at some point in time. Is he a cancer survivor?
I'm not certain of his personal circumstances, but I know he's going to join me on stage at Medicine X at Stanford in September, when we will create a Shark Tank environment. And as a result of the finalists that get there, the five finalists, three are going to end up receiving $100,000 in grants to help create new innovations to improve cancer care. So, you know, we've got his business background, his innovation, his ideas.
So the whole purpose, if I understand this, the competition is to come up with ideas that have been successful in helping people treat cancer and the care that they get as cancer is being treated. Is that right?
That's correct. We're looking mostly for ideas around the cancer care or navigating the healthcare system, not so much the treatment itself. Obviously, a lot of work's being done on discovering new treatments. We think a very underserved area is the area that impacts the patient every day, which is to some of the other aspects of care in their journey.
Yeah, it's the support more than anything else, it would seem.
Exactly.
And, you know, I was able to build a technology solution, having experienced surgery and an ostomy, and scale that innovation that's now being used in hospitals around the U.S. And I think, you know, patients and their caregivers can provide real solutions. It's not just support, but actually they can participate in real innovation. And at its heart, this prize allows everybody to literally create a video, talk into their smartphone, capture their idea and their passion, and potentially end up in California in September in All front right. of Robert and others.
So here's where you go. The website is c3prize.com. C, the number 3prize.com, like C3PO, but it's C3PRIZE.com. Excellent idea. Gentlemen, thank you for being here.